Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
And we're live.
We're live back at the studio, Sullivan Dental Partners.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast.
Man, how long has it been?
It's been too long. I just want to thank all of you wonderful people who have stuck with us and encouraged us to get back at it.
Yeah, it's very, very, honestly, I didn't think that we're going to get back to it, even especially after Corona happened. I'm like, man.
I know.
Maybe we've already taken such a long break. But
you know what's funny is I was thinking the other day, I was having a little bit of like a reminisce moment because I was talking to somebody about the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we started this thing in 2017.
Yeah.
Like it's been three years. That's what's so crazy.
Well, I remember you were talking about it December or like late 16.
Yeah, late 16.
Late 16. But we went to the meeting in the Nashville. Wow.
Good times.
Yeah, man.
Well, first and foremost, obviously, there's so much going on right now. I want to just touch base with you. We haven't talked much, obviously, mm-hmm. the past couple weeks, and just kind of see, you know, what life has been like coronavirus for you, kind of where you've been, what we're going to do, where we're going. Yeah. I mean, this is a big week for us. We both fired up for the first time in 6 weeks. And so just give me a little bit of the state of Dr. Payray.
So going back to when all this happened, like, because, I mean, this came out of nowhere, right? Like
right.
in February and March. And you were ready to speak at all these conferences and everything.
We were going to Hinman.
Yeah.
I remember Hinman was scheduled for March 19th and 20th and 21st. And I remember March 12th, 13th is when they canceled it, like a week before. And I remember sitting there going, like, we're planning on going. We're taking our whole team. Like, we've already blocked off. And at that point, like, it was just starting to get bad. And then... Boom. The world shut down.
Yeah, the world shut down. So same thing here with mine. Part of what went on last year with my office was building the lab, as you know, trying to build this whole service lab, like full service lab. And so through this whole corona, that was a great time for me to kind of sit down and see, like, reevaluate. What do I want to do with this lab? Is this something that I really signed up for? Am I ready to take this journey? And because, I mean, everything really I made last year, profits were going to get pumped into the lab to get it going. And as a dentist, we were never been trained, and we have trained into running a lab. We were never really trained
running
to run
a business
to
begin with, and a whole other business.
And then another business, because the lab, to me, at first, it became more of we could just get, like, you can get all these machines, and then this is kind of automatic with the surgical guide and everything you see online. It didn't seem as difficult as when I started actually seeing how many parts and pieces go into manufacturing and doing the design with everything, especially with the type of work that we do, the full mouth. And so some of the lab technicians have never even touched implant prosthetics. So then you're trying to find good lab techs, because to me, that was the most difficult part about the whole lab scenario, is that I didn't have the right lab tech, and I'm still kind of searching. We're still kind of going at it and trying to find out what I need in my lab tech. But in terms of lab technicians, right now, there is not too many lab technicians that are cross-trained in all areas of lab. So a lot of these labs, especially the giant size, large size labs, as we all know, they get lab technicians from school, from wherever, and they train them into certain spots.
From the niches.
And they put them into that niche, and that's all that person is doing. Either it's going to be casting or pouring up models.
Just bridge person.
Exactly. And it's not even like bridge person. That bridge person is like four people probably, because the first person is just going to be somebody who is going to print the model. That's all they're doing. Then the second person is going to be quality checking the model with putting the analog into the model, seeing if it's good. Then they give that to the third person. That third person is a designer. Then the designer has to check with the doctor. There is so many little pieces.
There's a stain and glazer.
And then there's, talk about now that it's been milled, what are you going to do with it? So all of these things, when I learned how many parts and pieces go into creating this craft of teeth, especially full mouth, I realized I can't just do it and just wing it.
Yeah.
Because that is my name. I've done 2 years worth of surgery, a year and a half for some of these people. Now comes to this last piece and it looks like crap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding? After all of these hard grafting and patient's right. pain and everything, right. this is not what I want to give. So then this corona honestly came when I sat down and I'm like, what do I really want to do with this? Is this something that I want to take on? Like, meaning that I'll be happy running my lab and running my office. And then I realized this is just way too much for me. And I feel like I need to partner up with somebody who cares so much about lab as much as I do. Sure. But at the same time, they don't have to worry about patients coming in, acceptance. Because if you think about it, I have to also worry about now these people are how am I going to market to get people in? Now they've come in, then I have to be able to treatment plan them. They have to accept it. Now I do the work. Then I've done the work 6 months later. Now I have to worry about what scan body I'm going to use, what high base I'm going to use.
Right.
And so like my days were becoming more like after 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Now I got to go to the lab trying to figure out what.
Lab.
Right.
Yeah.
And that just it took so much from me to where before Corona, honestly, a few weeks before Corona, I was like, man, I can't, like, this was good. For me, I felt like that
sure,
Corona.
Almost like a reset.
Like, thank God. Like, man, I needed a break. Then after 2-3 weeks, of course, we're like, wait, what's going on?
No, but you're right, because it's so easy to get into the hamster wheel
yes.
mentality, and especially with you having all that going on. It's like, I mean, and gosh.
It was too premature for me as a millennial. Somebody was like, oh, man, I could get loans and pay for this. And so, because let me go back to the logic of why I built this lab. So for some of the people that listen to this, maybe like, okay, why did you get it to begin with? So I usually spend about $250,000, $300,000 per lab, per year for labs, like different labs. Mm-hmm. In total, we're looking at $300,000, $250,000, $300,000 average. When the opportunity came along with Neodent and Strawman joining partnership with Zircon Zahn, I had always heard about Zircon
right,
Zahn.
Right.
But when the opportunity came along, oh, you could buy that many implants, which I was placing Neodent already. And you could get this for $200,000+, for example, yeah. right? And then I talked to my business guys and my accountant and the tax reduction strategists and all those people. And they're like, well, yeah, it makes sense. If you're spending that much a year, you could do this. And then after a few years, then you don't have to worry about it. But what they didn't know is that this is a whole another industry. And I didn't know that. Like, right. this is a whole another part. Like, and so I signed up. Very easily, you know, 6 months later, I start having to pay $7,000 a month. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm paying $7,000 a month, but then I'm not happy with my quality of technician work and I'm paying my technician.
Right.
Then what do I need to do? So then I started outsourcing. So then I'm now outsourcing.
Yeah, some
and
of
then
this,
having the lab. And right. so anyway, defeating all of this came along where all of this kind of hit me around December, January, right before Corona, to where I'm like, man, this is way too much more money because everything I'm making here is going through the headache of trying to now fix it in the lab.
Right.
And with the machine, Zircon Zahn is not your, let me turn it on and play with it. It is something where you have to be trained.
It's an industrial big machine.
It's a big yeah. machine where you
commercial
cannot
grade.
Just get trained very easily. Unfortunately, the machine is based in Italy, right? So like the headquarters here in Atlanta, it's a communication where you got to go and you have to have your technicians there. Long story short, there's not enough training. Everybody knows there's not enough training for labs and these machines should not be sold for somebody that they don't like you. You got to kind of go through pre-qualifying these people. Like, okay,
that's a good point.
Who is your lab tech? Because if your lab tech is not going to do it, let me not just sell this to you.
Yeah.
You know, like, because that's kind of like what I do. Look at my business. I'm like, if you're not going to take care of these implants, I don't
right.
even want
right.
you as a patient.
Because yeah, it makes you look bad on the back end.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is what's happening with, they bring the machine from Italy, they drop it for you. And then it's your responsibility pretty much. And you talk to every Zircon Zahn person. Don't get me wrong. You talk with every single one of them. And it is a lot of pain with training.
Sure.
Now, once you get the training, it is a spectacular machine.
Right,
don't
right.
get me wrong. It's a Mercedes-Benz. I love the quality that comes out. But try to get to that.
It's a challenge.
It's a lot of challenge. Yeah. So that's pretty much what's been going on with the corona, with the whole quarantine.
So what's your plan then?
Plan was, now what I'm trying to do is to, my social media, Shane is now helping me because he's so advanced and very computer tech savvy, where I'm now.
So Shane's background's not dental. It's
not dental. It's computer and social media.
Awesome.
Very like a photography and Photoshop and video making with Adobe Premiere.
Yep.
So then I'm like, well, when I started playing with Zirconzano, I'm like, man, this is a lot of file manipulation. You got to get the scan. And then that is scan, you have to know what kind of scan you want to manipulate the face.
So
and
I feel like
do
you
this.
Can teach him teeth.
Right,
teach him.
Exactly. So then, and plus he's also been in the surgery with me taking video. So he kind of knows the prosthetics and some of those tools. So
the process.
I gave him the Moonray and another cheap printer. It's called Any Photon, a cubic photon, $250 a printer from Amazon.
I need to buy that one.
And then he, next thing you know, 2 days later, he's like printing me models, like without me really being on his, like telling him anything.
Sure.
He goes on YouTube and ExoCAD. And anyway, I got him starting to train on ExoCAD. So then I'm now making models with ExoCAD. And I'm also getting, so once I get the model, so he's now learning just the slowly, instead of pouring up models, now let's get the models made. And then we put the analog, which that's also been a crazy roller coaster ride. Cause like when you print them, the analogs won't fit.
Right.
Then I'm calling all these lab people I know and they're like, oh, good luck. Like that's what we have problem with too. Cause there's always, that's a problem around all the other platform, the implant system, because you have to know your parameters of your printer and how
based
the
shrinkage.
The model resin and stuff. So anyway, that is what I'm kind of trying to put Shane in there while I'm still searching into finding a good lab partner long term, somebody who could come in and I'd be like, hey, you do your thing and give me the lab stuff with maybe a discount or whatever, but then I'll give you all these dentists that I know that they're going to be wanting to.
Right.
Because I don't want to also work with any lab tech that is not the good quality. Because the reason I went from the other labs to my lab was not necessarily
control,
the money.
Be the quality
was the
control.
Quality, where I want to take a picture and I want to make this look nice. The patient's going to love it. And it's all authentic. And the only way I could do it is to make sure that it's made right. And throughout the process of finding how it's done right
sure.
is that there's not too many lab techs that know any of these stuff. So then talk about also like learning the zircons on like lab techs know how to play with that machine. So you're going to get them in, then you have to invest
in their
learning.
They're practicing with that when they graduate
exactly.
their lab tech school.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They're not, I mean, they're teaching them. It's like dental school. They're teaching them stuff.
Right.
So that's how when the lab techs come out of school, they don't know any of this.
Well, and we're in a weird time too, because so much of what we're doing is switching from an analog world to a digital world. And there's a lot of, you know, pressure to push to do that. At the same time, there's some stuff that's still challenging to do digitally versus analog. And so most of these people learned in an analog traditional way. And then we're trying to move in a digital way. So just it's like learning two different techniques.
Right. And it's also talk about how easy it is now with the scans that you could do. You don't have to go through that whole analog way and trying to train somebody who's old school with the new school of I don't know. It just, to me, I'm still, it's going to take me probably another year, honestly, before I'm mastering that lab. But it's just something that I didn't know. I'm not regretting getting the lab. I'm still happy because I can manage.
Yeah.
But the amount of work that I looked at before to now, it's so much different. Now I have to make sure that I have the time and
everything. You don't have a family yet. I mean,
I can now, like,
that would have been, that's been challenging to do
a whole lot more. Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about you. So you guys, you were ready to do all these conferences and speaking engagement. What about the office and how was the office going before?
Yeah. I mean, we were 2020 was off to a killer start. Mm-hmm. We were way ahead of where we were in 2019, on pace for our best year ever. Everything's going great. Things are looking good. And then everything just kind of hit. And, you know, like probably like a lot of people, I shouldn't say most, but like a lot of people, I was skeptical about the reality of the situation up until really it happened. I mean, we really shut down about March 23rd.
Yeah.
I think that was the day that our team went on unemployment. But I think that week of March 18th,
that's
kind of when I think March 18th was our last day in the office. And so, you know, the biggest thing for me was emotionally trying to handle the financial ramifications of this happening, and then the HR ramifications, right? Like, I've never dealt with unemployment. You know, there's so many opinions coming out on, do we furlough the team? Do we fire the team? Do we keep the team on? And I really struggle with that, because for me, it may have been just a pride thing, but I didn't like the optics of firing the team. You know, I was like, gosh, I want to keep them on as long as I can. But the more people I talk to, the more people that I, you know, I look up to, were like, hey, this is a strategy, right? Because we don't know how long this is going to last. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 8 weeks. It could be three months.
You never know.
And so it was an optics thing. And then once we realized that, hey, you know, the government was supercharging the unemployment, that kind of became a pretty easy decision. So that was like the first wave of like hardness, right? Like trying to like figure out, okay, what are we going to do? And then
That responsibility. We're like, man, all these people are, I'm responsible for them. That's the kind of feeling that I had. We're like, if I let them go, like, I wish
I'd abandon them.
Right. And that's where when I talk to them, they're like, no, we understand we want to come back. So if you're going to put yourself into this situation, we don't know if you're going to be able
to you're even going to be here.
So they were super, super game for me, allowing me to be like, okay, now you guys be off. And then as soon as they were off, the good thing about it, and this is where, you know, a good assistants and the other ones, where they would call me like, hey, can I come, what can I do?
Yeah, same with ours. And that was, they were like, hey, we want to take opportunities to like, you know, call patients back, or we're basically kind of volunteer to kind of help out and do this. So yeah, same thing. That was great. So, you know, we sat down our team that Monday, I think it was the 23rd, and just kind of all, you know, just basically had a heart to heart about where things were at. And I was like, look, this is why we got to do this. It's the best strategy for y'all to kind of set us up. You know, and then we'll kind of see what happens. And then I think then at that point, then it became, okay, let's try to shut everything down, right? Like try to minimize my overhead. So I'm, you know, calling Bank of America to get a loan. So we're all trying to get everything deferred, right?
Everything.
So I think those first 2-3 weeks was spent, I was busy, which was good, just trying to kind of shuttle that down and really strategize about it. And then at that point, probably then like the little bit of the depression set in.
Right. That's after the third, fourth week. Right. I feel like that's where, for me, now I'm waking up and I'm like, wait, what is actually happening?
Yeah. What's it going to look like after this?
Right. What's it going to look like? How many, and this amount of work now, my office, as people know, like I don't have hygiene patients. My patients come in because they have problem and they need full mouth or whatever. So then my thoughts were like, how am I going to
even afford this stuff?
Who wants to even do this? Yeah. Why would they even want to spend that much money? So then all of my thoughts were kind of going down south, thinking of how we're going to recover from this. But thankfully, me and you both were talking right before this that, now that we are back on norm or kind of normal, or the new normal, is that I'm getting a lot of patients actually coming in and wanting to, I have maybe very few patients that are like, oh, wait, let's put the pause till June, July, but most of the patients have no problem showing up right now.
So once I kind of got over that hump, kind of same, you know, then I think really the cool part about this was it was almost like the perfect link for me. You know, by the time that we got to, let's call it, you know, mid-April, you know, April 18th, 20th, somewhere in there, kind of mid-April. That's where, like, I turned the corner of the weather was starting to turn. We're starting to get nicer weather. Spring was really kicking in Tennessee. And I really, really enjoyed the time I got to spend with Caroline and Hugh. And, you know, especially my kid, you know, he's really turned that corner. He's like 17, 18 months now. So he's walking, he's kind of talking-ish, you know, babbling. Yeah. But like this morning we went up and went to Lowe's together. So it's like, it's fun because I think the coolest part about the corona was, and to your point, it's almost like it really allowed, I think, a reset in a little bit of my priorities. And just kind of knowing like, hey, as awesome as having a killer year is, as awesome as traveling to, you know, to speak and all this is, at the end of the day, like, I got a lot of awesomeness just right here
that I'm
at
not,
home
right.
that maybe I haven't been enjoying as much. So for me, it really did kind of change my perspective of like, what's all the point a little bit. And then over the last week or so, kind of, you know, as we've rolled into May and knew we were getting ready to open up, it's been exciting. And yeah, I think emotionally I am at such a great place on excited to work, ready to work, but at the same time kind of have that just like new perspective. So I'm thankful for that. Now, how's it been? So we kicked off We had a little bit of a snafu. We were supposed to kick off like May 1st, basically.
Right.
And then, or April 30th. And then we had a little bit of pushback from the Hygiene Association in Tennessee. And so we got delayed to May 6th. So we've been, you know, Perry and I have both been open 2 days now. So what has been your initial response?
So I before opening, I pretty much look on Facebook and Instagram and emails getting from ADA and TDH, because you want to be, you're also responsible for not the health of yourself, but also responsible for the health of a lot of your patients and us, of course, your employees. So part
and there's so much information on
right.
I mean, it's like,
so like you listen you to one webinar that? To the other, and then you listen to all these sales channels webinars where they're all trying to push. Now they don't let crisis go to waste, right? Like they're
right.
trying to
right okay, now. Oh, yeah, everybody's now. Selling everything. Yeah.
So then I'm like, man, I'm not gonna buy all of this stuff right now. I'm gonna pause and see what most people buying and on average. So then I started getting some of these, like we talked about on Amazon, like air purifiers and things like N95 masks and thermometers and things to where, like, just like you, I think, because you guys have the same way. So, like, we have curbside patients calling.
Yeah, so walk through what y'all are doing at your office.
So, patients,
what's it look like?
We have a Weave app, which, like, a lot of people. So, we have a Weave that they have a questionnaire on coronavirus and like all those questions so that they answer those. Then whenever they get to the office, before they get to the office, we have called them and text messaged them, because it's honestly now so much more text messaging goes with the patient than even calling. It's amazing. So then my front desk calling, texting them saying, hey, before, first of all, your ride or whoever is with you, we're not going to allow them in the lobby. It's just going to be the patient.
Here. Same thing here.
Then you're going to, when you reach our office, stay in your in the parking and just give us a text. They say, you're ready for us. And then whenever we're ready, we're going to come and get you and bring you in.
Yep, same here.
That's pretty much what we've been doing.
You're taking your their
temperature outside. Yep. And then whenever they're coming in. Now, a lot of it, I'm like, why do we need to go over there? Why don't they just come by the door in the front and then we get their temperature there? So, like, there's no need for us. I don't think that the extra steps are going in. Now, of course, if they're sedated, they're coming for surgery, we're going to go get them.
Right.
But if they're not, they could just walk to
Well, probably a lot of that depends on, like, you know, it's a little trickier at your office. Because your Some front door, they're parking. You're in like a little strip.
In the plaza,
right. Whereas like it's a little easier for us to run out to the parking lot. It's our own parking
lot.
Yeah.
So that's why. So once they get in, patients are also.
But basically, your waiting room is not really active.
No, it's not at all. Down. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I wanted to kind of keep that closed, and as soon as we have the second patient, we're gonna want to be done mostly with the first patient. Like if I'm working on it. On them, that's how we trying to kind of we call it a soft reopening. When we calling the patients to reschedule and we tell them, hey, this is not actually we're not up and
we're
running
not full steam.
It's and it's so amazing because I guess humanity now everybody had gone through the whole thing at their own phase and pace. Where now a lot of patients are actually cool with everything we do. There, a lot of them want to know, okay, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, we've had that too.
Mm-hmm. So they ask a lot of questions about what are you guys doing to prepare? And then there are some that, of course, come up with these conspiracy theories and everything else that goes with it. So we just, as a leader of a team and a practice owner, I'm trying to kind of keep everybody safe and make sure that, like, again, it's hard to wear those face shields with the light. So I'm now going to look into getting some.
I'm not wearing a face shield.
It's tough. I can't wear them.
I'm not.
They're bugging my ear and head, and it just gives me headaches. So now I'm sure they're going to be more easier, comfortable ones coming out.
So let me ask you this, because this is, so we've been very similar in our protocol. Yeah. I think basically the same thing as far as, you know, with patients. I mean, we've obviously done similar things to you. We've gotten some air purifiers for the office. We've got some sneeze guards up. A lot of it ultimately is, I think, optics. And we talked about that off air a little bit, just, you know, anything we can do to convey that to the patients.
As far as how safe it is, like, we don't really know. Nobody knows, right?
That's the reality of it. It's like, is a piece of plexiglass really going to save you? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. You know, obviously, I think, you know, it's just trying to keep the social distancing up. Now, I want to switch a little bit, because to me, I think this is where a little bit of this conversation can be super valuable to people who are about to open up. And because we're obviously, Tennessee is one of the first states to open up. And I think one of the hardest parts about this reopening, what I've seen was less about the patients. The patients have seemed to be pretty willing to come back.
Right.
But dealing with your team. How did you deal with your team, with the PPE, with their expectations? Talk a little bit about those conversations, and I'll kind of tell you How it's been with us too.
So the way that I thought, we going back to Corona, because I think it's also important, the nature of the culture of your office based on how you're going to come back is also very predetermined of how you had it before.
Yeah.
We had morning huddles, 6:40 every morning, and also had weekly meetings. So right after we said, hey, we're good to come back.
Did y'all do Zoom meetings or anything? Like,
I wanted to do Zoom meetings, but then I also like to kind of see people, like especially my assistants and staff. I miss them. I'm like, come on, let's just
So y'all kind of got together a couple times.
Yeah, we did, absolutely.
Social distance.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Social kind of in the lobby, spread out.
Nice, cool, okay.
And I am one of those people, I don't really like to tell people what, I want them to kind of share their thoughts. Hey, what do you guys think?
Love that. Yep, love that.
Because at the end of the day, we wanted to be everybody cool with that.
Everybody wants them to feel safe.
Yeah. So then we had our staff meetings a couple of times, and they're also following the news and everything. So those are the decisions that we made. Now, going back to, of course, some of the assistants and team members, because I'm talking and speaking with, in general, a lot of offices, I'm sure there's going to be not as much need for every staff member to come and write off.
Potentially,
that. So a lot of team members, I feel like they're also going to be a little bit, how do you say, like they're scared of, like they don't know. So then whenever people are scared, they kind of react differently.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're quiet. They don't even want to be participating sometimes. So for me, thankfully, every one of my staff member, especially the one that were on unemployment, they're like, oh, we want to volunteer, come in and help just to kind of get this place going and up and
running. Right, before we kind of restart.
So to me, and especially as somebody, as a boss, I want to take care of my team. Like if that's what they're going to go and do for me, I'm going to go more. And
right.
So now I'm kind of, it's taking it slowly, one day at a time. Thankfully for the PPP loan that I got from the bank, because unfortunately, and I feel so sorry and sad for some people that didn't get it, because at least that money is going to help. Unfortunately, though, I think most of that money for me is going to be a lot of it that I'm going to have to take a loan just as a paying back 1%, because that 8 weeks is not enough. With the whenever you get the money, you have 8 weeks in order to get all of your team. And when the governor says you can't start, then how are you going to bring the people back?
Right.
So unfortunately, I'm going to kind of go with that. But
even at a 1% loan, it's still great money.
I think it's reassuring for you. Like, hey, even if you go negative,
right.
And you said the same. Like me, my January, February this year has been the best out of all the 4 years that I've been open. And this happening right at that time was the worst. Like this.
Yeah.
But it kind of gave me that mindset of like, let's reset. Like, what do you?
It also probably wasn't sustainable when you look at what was happening with the lab and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
it's like
it
wasn't.
Gone crazy.
100%.
You know, to me, it's been interesting because and I thought what you did as far as like asking your team, did you have any interesting requests from a PPE? Did they any of them request anything that you're like, gosh, I don't know if I can get that or I don't think it's necessary?
It's funny because I'm the one who keeps wanting to buy.
You're like let's buy more. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the one. I have that unfortunate problem of buying a spin.
You are the
spinner.
So
I'm like, no, we need this. And they're like, no, we could let's save money and do this. And they keep wanting to save money because of the office. But I think some of the things are very important. I feel like the purifier should really be in our aerosol setting and everything that's going on. I think purifier is good.
So what are you wearing? What are you wearing?
I'm honestly wearing a jacket.
Okay.
And changing it one jacket per day.
Cool.
And I know you got to change from one room to the other. So then whenever it gets to that, then I'll wear the gown.
I mean, you're probably better than me.
But I just hate the gown.
I'm not wearing a gown.
I don't know. I feel like whatever I can do to make, because the surgeries, the blood and everything, when I wear figs with the short sleeves, so sometimes things get, so that's why I kind of wanted to wear something more, a little bit more protective.
No, I mean, I get that. I mean, my thing is, like, obviously, I mean, y'all, the listeners know us, and they kind of our personalities, but my thing is, like, at the end of the day, me personally, like, I feel comfortable. I don't believe that the coronavirus is that much different in its ability to, I guess, in us to get it compared to other things. I'm not saying it's not bad. I'm not saying.
I think it's the amount of death that we had in such a short amount of time, because people are comparing
and
it with.
And it did spread very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, it does spread, but like at the same time, like our infectious protocols have been really good infectious protocols. I mean, I don't think that. And when you look at hepatitis, HIV, You know, just any other normal respiratory, you know, transmissible things. I mean, we've been dealing with aerosols for our entire freaking, like, this is nothing new.
Yeah.
I mean, high evacuation suction works really good. Masks work really good, you know? And so, like, I guess we've been, and I'll kind of back that up. So when we brought our team back on,
tell me about how
it was, you know, I knew, and we have 11 team members, so we have a pretty good sized team. So I knew there would be a little bit of probably some concern and whatnot. And I'm okay with talking about the elephant in the room too, right? Like, the other elephant is that all our team members are making good money right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not quite what they're making, but making in Tennessee with the supercharged employment, they're making $875 a week.
Right.
So like $875 a week to not work plus the stimulus checks is pretty good money.
Right. Absolutely.
So like it's hard then obviously to deal with the fact like, hey, I'm doing well, but do I really want to come back
and
make a little more with increased risk, right? Whereas us, it's like we're making zero money. I'm losing money.
Right.
So like there's a level of risk that's challenging. So we did the same thing. We came back, we sat down, I said, here's where we're at. You know, I think you and I, what we've done really, really well with our teams is we've been honest and transparent
through
really all of the past 4 or 5 years of us being dentists, you know? And I think that I can't tell you enough how important I think that is to as people when they go back is to have that, because you want your team to I don't worry about my team like calling OSHA or suing me or something like that, because I feel like I'm taking care of my team, right?
Right.
So we sat down and Jess, she's super sweet. She's definitely was the one that was probably the most, you know, concerned
active
about some stuff. Yeah. And she was, you know, she's on all these Facebook groups that, you know, have a lot of people freaking out, yada, yada, yada. And I said, okay, so let's talk about it. Tell me what your concerns are. What would you feel comfortable with coming back to work? You know, and she was like, I'd like a face shield. You know, I'd like to try maybe the 95 masks. I don't know if I'm going to wear them. Yeah. So it's like, perfect. So to me, I think the biggest thing we can do is give them the opportunity to share their voice, to ask them what it is that they would like. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately lead by example. I mean, I'm not going to make them wear anything that I'm not, you know, going to wear.
Yeah.
And so we ended up, we have a lot of this stuff. We have gowns, we've got face shields, we've got some Canon 95 masks. But for the most part, where people are choosing to wear their level 3 masks, we've 3D printed using the Bella face scanner,
nice,
the little, these things.
The tester.
And so that they make them more like an N95. Mm-hmm. They've been great.
So you put that on top of your level 3?
I put that on top of my level 3, and it basically kind of holds it down to be more like an
N95. Does your ear get tired of having two things?
A little bit, but you know, that's probably just...
Yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, they're not...
But it's more comfortable than just wearing...
I found it's more comfortable than that. It actually, I like it because my mask, it doesn't fog my loops.
Oh, you know, that's true. Yeah.
Which is nice because it kind of does keep it sealed more. But I'm telling you, I think ultimately what it was is there are going to be two offices that come back from this.
Yeah.
And I've kind of been a little bit annoyed on Facebook because I've kind of been one going off on some people. And
my gosh.
That
the Facebook
if you live in fear and you live in fear of your team, your patients, the disease, someone coming to get you, you know, because you're doing the wrong thing, and you slowly come back to this, you're going to struggle. Mm-hmm. If you make a decision, you make a plan, you make a protocol, you and your team are on the same page, and you implement that protocol, you can come back and be super successful. I mean, I firmly believe that probably by the end of the year, we will hit our number that we hit in 2019 with a year off. You know, just because I think that we will double down on a lot of things and really get there. Now, that's barring, obviously, we don't have something come back from that. The virus.
Do you think that, like, let me kind of turn this around and talk about now, of course, we had a good relationship with our team. We've been blessed and lucky to have the people that we have to work with us. But what do you say? Because I'm seeing this and hearing this a lot of my team, my doctor friends that are having their team members not wanting to come back and not starting, especially the hygiene department. What would you tell them? Like, especially because you have a hygiene, big hygiene
program.
Yeah,
we have four.
So what can you tell them? Like, say, for example, what could they do, those folks, to get these people back? Or are they just better off just start looking right before? I don't know. How would you combat that?
I think it depends. I think, you know, with the ones that we had that, like I said, you know, to me, it's having honest conversations.
Yeah.
I mean, me being like, hey, here's the deal. We've got to reopen. The governor... The powers that be have told me it's safe to reopen. I have to reopen because it's a business and I have to put food on my table for my kids, my family, and there are other people that need to come back. There are people that want to get their teeth cleaned. They want to be orally healthy, okay? So if you aren't willing to come back, I totally respect that, but we're going to have to go in a different direction. I mean, to me, we have a duty to talk to our team members, hear them out, and I would argue we have a duty to get them what is realistic, reasonable, meet their demands that are reasonable, right? So, like, for instance, if they want to wear, if they want gowns, perfect. I'm going to get them gowns. Now, if they want a gown for every single patient, then that's probably not realistic to me.
Right.
So I think it's important.
Now, what do you, sorry to interrupt, but can you not charge this now for Delta Dental? Is that correct?
No, you can't. So okay. There was a little bit of a misnomer, and then Delta came back and said something about that. So this is a good conversation too, because this is something that's come up with some of my, with the master and right, but do we charge for PPE? Do we not charge for PPE? My thing, and a little bit of it, let's preface this with, I think we live in Tennessee.
Yeah,
Tennessee is a red state by and large. Sure. It's a little more conservative. People kind of bounce back to this stuff just because of the nature of the people.
The people.
And so we have seen an unbelievably overwhelming amount of kind of strangely normalness as we've started back. Mm-hmm. Patients are coming in. They're wanting to spend money. They're wanting to accept treatment. Yep. It's elective treatment. I mean, they're wanting anything, right? We're having our hygiene, maybe a 15% cancellation rate with four hygienists. So like patients are coming in.
Right.
If you're in New Jersey starting back, it may be totally different. Yeah. I just don't know. But when to answer your question about the charging of the PPE, here in Tennessee, I don't want to go down that road because to me, I don't want to necessarily have to sell or explain why I'm charging them an extra $20.
Right.
When I'm trying to sell them $4,000.
Yeah.
Right. It's me. Like I'll deal with the extra cost.
Right.
It's cost doing business, etc. Now having, cause life is almost normal here. Mm-hmm. If I'm in New Jersey or Michigan or somewhere that's a lot more, you know, Washington or somewhere like that. And my patient base is significantly less, you know, we're seeing less people. And so like my overhead's a lot higher.
Right.
Then yeah, and patients may be more willing to pay for that. Mm-hmm. It may be something, but fundamentally, I don't really believe in it because to me, it's like selling toothbrushes in the office, right? Like you heard me talk about this. Like I don't believe in selling things in the office that are, you know, small, that don't help move the needle.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I don't think that we should charge them any extra with this just for them to come in and wanting to get the treatment done. I think that's plenty coming after all of these things that have happened. One thing that I do also say that it would help a lot of doctors that have difficulty with their team that I think would help them, the conversation should be more about, let's tell them that, hey, we're going to have a softer reopening. Let's kind of take it one patient at a time. Like, let's not
I think
go,
that's smart the first week or so too, to like stagger like, stuff
yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah. So because I've heard and I've seen some of my friends that I'm like, man, why are you trying to get back to normal so quickly? And that's when it kind of backlashed and some of their people are just like, I'm quitting. I can't. I mean, this is too much going on. So I think if...
That's probably me.
if you could go back to... Like maybe seeing a lot less patients and just take the whole month of May. And I don't even think it's a bad idea to even take the whole month of June. Slowly.
And well, ultimately it's going to be driven by, I think, the financial.
Right.
Like I think to your point, if you can do 3-4 weeks starting out, that makes sense. But I do think at some point.
You got to kind of go back to. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100%. I'm just talking about the ways
the optics
of kind of
team.
Right, with the team. How are you going to, because at the end of the day, they want to be, I don't know, some of them, you have to consider yourself as the owner. You have so many different personality that you got to please them in a way that they want to be pleased. And sometimes some of those people, if you really want to keep them, that's how you could kind of go about it. And sometimes this is a great opportunity to know, really, is this the team member that I want to be with?
Right.
Right? Like,
well, you don't have to hire everybody back.
Right. Now,
that's the negative of the PPP is it makes it sound like you got to hire back. And,
right.
And you do to get the maximum forgiveness. I understand that. But you also don't, there is no better time than to change the culture of your office.
Absolutely.
To change your protocols, procedures. Like, we will
start
live
fresh.
In a post-corona, pre-corona, you know, world.
100%.
It's the time to do it. So to me, I always want to figure out what is the true reasoning behind them not coming back, right? Like, is it true fear? So let's have that conversation, right?
Yeah.
What are you fearful of? You know, where are you getting your information? Okay, so it's aerosols. So let's talk about aerosols. So show them some literature that shows what a dry shield could do, you know, and talk about, hey, what if I got you this? Would this help make you feel better? For, you know, what if we did the, you know, to me, this all should be factual based stuff. Yeah. Now, if you hear on, you know, XY Dental Peeps Network that some person said something and that's what you're going off of, I'm not going to buy that. Right. Like, I want hard, actual evidence-based medicine. So to me, it's the first question you have when you have a team member that's not wanting to come back or is being, you know, challenging there is truly understanding and appreciating what their concerns are. And then having a legit discussion about that. Because it may be that it's less that and more about just the fact that they don't want to come back to work. Or
the money is good.
They're not the right team member. Yeah, it could be. So I think those are fair conversations to have with your team. And we've done it both individually and as a group. But let me be very clear. When I told them we were rehiring them, like, because we've officially hired back everybody, it was not a... this is your opportunity to rejoin the team. Mm-hmm. It's a yes or no. Meaning like, it's not, well, I think I'd rather wait 2 weeks. I mean, that's the one thing that I was pretty definitive about was like, when I offer you the job to come back, because again, the powers that be, me personally, like I feel like it's safe for us to come to work. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to come back to work, I totally respect your decision. But if you don't want to come back, we're going to find a different employer.
Right. Now, can you tell me this, that the people that don't want to come back and you let them go, could they still qualify for unemployment? Or
no.
Can you sign a...
No, so that's part of this. That's part... Now, I'm sure you could kind of do some, like, we're not letting you back. Technically, no, right? If you offer somebody a job and they decline that job, they can't get unemployment. That's been part of the reason why there's been such an uproar in the... And I'm not just going to blame hygienists. I'll just say team members in general, because the team members... If the doctor says, hey, I want to go back, they offer them the job, they don't take it, then they can't get their unemployment.
I see.
So they would rather it not be safe and the doctor not allowed to go back to work, therefore they can't be hired back to work, therefore they get to keep their unemployment. So that's why there's been a lot of pushback on team members, basically, you know, yeah.
Where do you see that? In this year, do you see that any meetings or any sort of dental meetings going to happen, or you think this year's?
Yeah, you know, being on, like, in both of us, you know, doing a lot of education stuff, it is interesting that these are conversations we're having, right, to figure out, okay, are dentists going to
Should we wanna, schedule something?
Are they going to want to fly to come to stuff?
Yeah.
Are they going to want to be in rooms with people? You know, so much of it, I think, is on one level going to be what is the... governing bodies of states and nationwide, you know, when can we gather with more than 50 people again?
Right.
You know, I mean, think about if you're planning a wedding, like, is October safe enough? Do you need to plan until next year? If you want to have 200 people at your wedding. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing is when do they allow large bodies to gather again? And I think that's a little out of our control. I personally think that unless there's a significant second wave where it starts getting really worse again and we start shutting down again, I think, which I don't think is going to happen, I think that as we move into the summer, into the fall, people are going to be getting way back to normal. I mean, dude, we're seeing it, you know, think about it. I'm telling y'all, it is crazy how normal it is in Nashville right now on some level. It gets a little eerie how normal people are acting. I mean, other than the fact that you go to the grocery store, like the majority of people are wearing masks. Yeah. It's like business as usual now.
Yeah, a lot of places. I think the of course there's industries that are being affected a lot more, like travel industry and the hospitality.
Right.
And so I think there's going to be a new norm for them too. Like, I honestly think there's going to be a lot of things happening online.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of meetings happening online.
I think you're right. I mean, we've learned how well webinars are working.
Right. So I think as a clinician or educator, I think right now the new generation of educators are going to be thinking of this and taking this chance to be like, hey, why can I not just put all this stuff online and start charging people subscription based off whatever money, and they can just pay me. And I think that's going to be a big thing. There also going to be a lot of time. I was thinking about start writing a book over this corona. Yeah. I'm like, man, I could just start writing something and put things together.
Yeah. And you're freaking for first 4 years of
yeah, just kind of whatever, put something together book. And yeah. then look at it. And anyway, so I think there's going to be a lot of cool things creative because we're all so creative human beings. So I think there's going to be a lot of cool things also coming out from the corona. Post-corona, but this has been good. I'm glad we're back at it. We need to start scheduling some big names again back at the podcast. Maybe even some of the people that we've had in the past that we had the most popular ones.
Yeah,
I think them on and see what they're doing in their offices, especially now that it's like I take this as an opportunity. Like, what is the new norm look like in San Francisco? What is the new norm look like in different countries, different cities?
Yeah.
And then see what they're doing that we could probably take advantage and do it in our own neighborhood and our own community. So I think it's going to be good. I'm glad we did this after, many months?
I know. Well, and to Perry's point, obviously, if, you know, let us know what you want to hear. You know, that's really where we want to go. I think we're going to definitely try some different things. I want to, I'd like for this to be, you know, some video too.
Yeah.
I think we start shooting some of these live.
Looking at this new gadget you have. I need to take a video of this.
You know, we've got the ability. We now have the ability to do call in guests. So I really want to do some live shows. So
tell me,
we can have some.
Tell
some
me what is
guests.
The what is the new thing? Can you introduce?
Yeah. So here we have the Rodecaster Pro. This allows us to have phone in guests. So they can call in, and
so there's a thing just for phone that you could call in people.
And what if Perry gives us a little joke?
You can push that. You guys can't hear it. Oh, you can. This is good.
So we've got some exciting things coming to the 2020 version of the Millennial Dentist Podcast.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Well, we will stay tuned, and I hope you all are safe and getting back to work soon. Everybody, work smarter, not harder.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.